WKYND, Cypress, Houston.
A Synergy Broadcasting Company.
Your kind of talk. Your kind of music.
Your kind of radio.
The Powerful 1520. 1520. KYND.
This is Bill Russell. I ain't got much time, so listen carefully. If you or your family member are looking for a new or used car, truck, or SUV, I've got every make, model, and brand. BMW, Range Rover, Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Honda, Mercedes, Lexus, Nissan. Did I say BMW? Of course I did. Before you drive all over town and get jacked around, call Bill Russell at Momentum BMW, 713-596-3100.
Go see Houston's car legend Bill Russell now at Momentum BMW Southwest.
Attention churches and nonprofit organizations. Dawson Chemical and Janitorial Supply Company has all the chemicals and janitorial supplies you need. Toilet tissue, paper towels, trash can liners, styrofoam cups, plates, and more. They also offer churches and nonprofit organizations 10% discounts and free same-day delivery. So give us a call today at 713-697-7137. Mr. Dawson has been supplying Houston area large and small congregations for over 36 years and has three area locations to serve all of your paper, chemical, and janitorial supply needs. Dawson Chemical also sells commercial janitorial equipment, buffers, vacuum cleaners, steam cleaners, wet and dry vacs, and more. We also repair all types of janitorial equipment and provide a full line of pest control for your do-it-yourself convenience. So give us a call today at 713-697-7137 and let Dawson Chemical meet all of your paper and chemical supply needs. Again, call us at 713-697-7137. We look forward to your call. Any church that spends $100 will get a $25 gift certificate that can be used with your current purchase.
The views and opinions expressed on KYND 1520 Talk programs are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, management, other hosts, or advertisers. Show topics on this station may include conversations on any lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practices. KYND, a Synergy Broadcasting Company. KYND, Cypress, Houston.
A Synergy Broadcasting Company.
Your kind of talk. Your kind of music.
Your kind of radio.
The Powerful 1520.
Welcome to the Chatwood Pack Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Yuri Solomon, along with our president and founder. He's back, Wilford Dorden, and a host of other Pack pastors that are in the studio sharing the mic with us today. Pack stands for Pastors Advancing the Kingdom. Today's show topic, we're continuing to talk about in this will be our final installment on this particular subject, spiritual leadership interacting with the various mindsets in the home. We're talking about spiritual leadership and what that leader encounters, and particularly the last couple of shows, or last week and this week, focused on what it takes to be a spiritual leader and to actually bear fruit or make progress in what you're trying to do, to be productive and powerful in your home. And so that's our topic today. I want to remind you that you can join this conversation. Chime in by calling 832-230-5592. We're talking to you. We want you to talk back to us, and we can make this a great dialogue. We're going to take a moment now to introduce the preacher pastors that's in the studio with us.
Good afternoon. This is Harry Coles, Equippers Bible Fellowship. Welcome this afternoon.
Pastor R.W. Young, welcome to the show. Pastor of Bethany Missionary Baptist Church, 3307 Elysian Street. Looking forward to enjoying the show with you this afternoon.
Pastor James Warden, Second Baptist Church in the Heights, 810 West 24th Street. We plan to have a good time in the Lord today. Please listen careful. Call in if you feel like it.
I'm Pastor Ralph Crowder. Hello, I'm Pastor Ralph Crowder, pastor of Club Creek New Life Community Baptist Church on the southwest side. If you want to come visit us, that's 8109 Creek Bend, 77071. God bless you.
And he's back. Pastor Wilford Darden, Equippers Bible Fellowship. And thanks for all your prayers as we were on the road last week. We're back and ready to chat with the pack.
All right. Again, our theme is changing the inner city one family at a time. So we're always focused on families. We always focus, and then inside of the family are individuals. It takes an individual to be the leader, to be the spiritual leader, to pull the family together, to impart spirituality into the rest of the family. And so we're talking about that to get the family healthy. We want that's the key word, a healthy family. And a healthy family is able then to impact other families through ministry and service in the community, in the home, and other places that the family is then able to make impact, and hopefully to impact the entire community, the inner city. Isn't that right?
That's right.
That's right. In fact, we call it our Healthy Family Initiative. And that's where we are, you know, and there's various ideas about healthy, you know, the food element. The spiritual element then contains each family member being able to communicate with one another in such a way that the relationship causes them to hear one another and to respond respectively to one another, to agree to disagree with one another. Mm. This is healthy family relationship information. And when you have a healthy family that is maturing, you're able to talk to one another, whether you agree or disagree. You're able to recognize the various roles that the mom plays, the dad plays, the issues of the teens, the issue of the children. And when that healthy element is empowered by God, then the believers in Christ are able then to, as Yuri mentioned earlier, to go out and to affect other homes in the neighborhood.
Great. Now, As we talk about the spiritual leader, and we have a ton of P's that we've introduced, that alliteration, but we're talking about a leader dealing with hindsight issues in the home. And, of course, that simply means things that have impacted you in the past, in your history, that are causing pain in your present day, because they haven't been dealt right, they haven't been processed right.
Yeah. So one of the things that I would like to introduce before we do the P's is a scenario. In one of my coaching sessions, I had a young lady who was having an issue with her husband, and they were 30. She was 32, he's 36. And the issue was that in their bedroom element, she couldn't undress in front of him. And he thought there was something wrong with him because she couldn't undress in front of him. And so during the discussion, we discovered that he had grown a goatee, and this goatee reminded her of someone who had molested her when she was six. And she stopped undressing in front of men because the imagery from the hindsight came up. So when we addressed it, and then she was able, because she had a referee in the room, and we mentioned it, it was ironic that one goatee could press something in the memory.
Yes.
And come back 30-something years later to cause an dysfunction in the home. So hindsight issues are serious.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why we want to address them.
And the leader of the home has to understand that that's what they're dealing with. Again,
yes.
Now, in other words, the leader has to have insight.
Yes.
In order to help the other person, first insight to see the other person's hindsight issues.
Right.
And that same insight to then as well help them to walk out of that stronghold that's got them captive.
Exactly. And in that scenario, she was a believer, but he wasn't.
Mm.
And so his understanding is not going to be the same. She had to receive the power from Christ to get the cleansing so that the memory would no longer press the hindsight issue and bring back the pain. But he is not saved, so his understanding cannot be empowered. So his understanding is purely personal. And now I had to talk to him along those lines and saying, you need to receive Christ so that you can have the power to recognize, because he's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
She might be more spiritual, but he's functionally the leader of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that led to salvation, but she needed more empowerment because she had to be cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
Her memory had to be cleansed, you know, and Jesus is going to throw that thing as far as the east is to the west,
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't come back.
Right.
And so the hindsight element that brings the health in the home, serious.
All right. So, again, it takes a lot of fortitude, a lot of tenacity, a lot of prayer,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot to deal with people's issues. And as pastors, I mean, we see issues constantly coming to our study and our counseling sessions. And so the leader in the home, let me just say it this way, that leader has to have the same ability that a pastor has to have. Isn't
that's
that
exactly right?
Right.
That's right.
Yes, that's
I
right.
mean, it's
that's
all
right.
the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it's all the Christ in you working to bring that person and help that person become free.
Right. That's exactly. Galatians 6:1 says, ye who are spiritual.
Yeah.
Right.
Able to catch a brother in a fault, not think more highly of themselves than they ought, bear one another's burdens.
Right. And that's what I would want to say, too, because if you limit to a pastor, people think they have to be a pastor to be empowered. But it's empowerment through the relationship.
Yeah.
You got to have a right relationship to get that empowerment to be able to recognize the dysfunction that's going on in the home, so whereby now you can recognize that it's a hindsight issue or it's a drug issue or whatever the issue is. It comes from the empowerment through the right relationship. And so that's what helps us and helps to be able to identify and recognize the issues that's going on.
And we want to remember that relationship is just the transferring of values from one person to another.
Right.
So as we enter and act relationally, I'm able to transfer what I know to you, and you're able to transfer it back to me. And as long as our relationships are healthy, I'm able to hear you,
right.
and then I'm able to respect you. And that respect is crucial, because out of that respect, then I want to adhere to what you mentioned that I need to do.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't take it as if you're talking down to me or demeaning. It's something that I need.
Right.
And if that relationship is healthy, then I take it whether it's something I don't like or it's something I like or not.
Yeah. Can I say this, Pastor, what you're speaking of, healthy relationship, and it's so essential because it's in that relationship, if it's healthy, I'm willing to hear you.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to receive what you have to say, even though it may be correctional and or just as informative. But because of that relationship and it's healthy, we can now create a dialogue whereby receiving and giving.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what before we go, we're getting ready to go to 2 Timothy 3 and kind of introduce this transfer that Paul talks about. But before we introduce that, what does what is the hindrance to a healthy relationship? What unhealthy? What does that look like in some cases? We know it's many.
The primary piece is unforgiveness. When there is no forgiveness, there's no transference of the communication because there's a blockage there.
Right, right.
When there's no repentance, I'm just not going to stop doing wrong. And the person doesn't recognize that I'm going to stop doing wrong, then my relationship is going to remain broken. One of the reasons that relationships don't work is because everybody lies. And when people find out or discover that you're lying, it kills expectation.
Yeah.
See, if I don't expect you to tell me the truth, I can't expect to listen to you. And so then you come back and say, hey, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Well, I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not because you lied to me the last time.
Or if I think your motives are
good. So unhealthy relationships is essential to telling the truth. It's essential to it's essential to lying, or it's essential to erroneous motives. Mm-hmm. If you're coming out of the hood, just getting over, running game, that kind of thing is what kills those relationships.
Yeah. So I mean, in a word, it's a trust factor.
Trust factor.
That's key.
And you want to remember damaged expectations. Because if I don't expect you to tell me the truth, then I can't expect for your information to help me.
Yeah. Mm.
Great. Let's introduce this relationship between Paul and Timothy. Paul is Timothy's mentor,
right?
Teacher, and he's giving some information to Timothy right here. You want to talk about that, Pastor Crowder?
Well, in 2 Timothy 3, Paul is talking to him about his relationship and how he wants to transfer information to him. You know, understanding that Paul had a great relationship with him. And I just want to say this in verse 9. He says, verse 10, he says, these things thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. He also says in Philippians, those things that you learned and you've heard and you've seen in me. And then he also says in Timothy, I think it's chapter 2, that these things transfer to other men. And so what Paul was doing, because of his relationship with Timothy, he was talking to him and giving him values and principles to live his life. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what the spiritual leader has to do, has to have a relationship that's good enough, close enough, or functioning enough to transfer certain values and principles.
And particularly, Paul was modeling and telling Timothy to remember what I've modeled before you, what I've exampled before you, what you've seen in me.
Right. Kind of goes back to Brother Pastor Harry when he was talking last week when he lived in front of his son, and his son says, well, I know that God is true now, Daddy, because I've seen you. And so, yeah, it's about, as you said, Pastor Solomon, it's about a model. And that's what we need to do is be able to tell people, hey, look, follow me. You know, not just in a say thing like, you know how, you know, our parents used to say, do what I say, do not as I do.
Right.
But you know, set an example and not be perfect, but be real enough to walk in front of them and show them a right way as an example.
Right.
I like the old preachers used to say, it's more is caught than it is taught.
Right. I like that too. More is caught than taught.
I mean, if you're doing something every day, it's impossible for people that are around you every day to miss the fact that you do this every day.
Well, you know, speaking of passing on and Pastor Solomon, that old commercial where the guy breaks in the room and he's yelling at his son because he found his stash of drugs, and he says, where did you get this from and where'd you learn this from? He looked up and said, Dad, from you. You know, and kids are sponges, and it's so much. But and so that same principle goes on in life. Even the Bible says, "Train up a child." Now, that's a proverb. It's not a promise. So, but we do train up a child, and we should go. So it's all about training, all about being example. And you know, Jesus was our great example.
Well, not just that children are sponges, but people
right.
are.
Well, yeah.
When they see good examples of things that work,
right,
and they want what you have,
right.
Yeah, primarily because the example is stored in the memory.
Right.
And for those of us who had good fathers, for example, in my case, when the pressure comes down on me, even today, I reflect back on what my dad said. Mm-hmm. And this is what he said. One day you're going to miss me. One day you're going to wish I was still here.
Yeah. Stay right there. Stay right there. This is Chat with Fact. We want to remind you, you can join this conversation, 832-230-5592. And we'll be back right after this.
1520.
1520.
KYND.
Coming up Monday on Showbiz and Company.
Uh-oh, it's the weekend.
It's the weekend, baby.
Everybody, this is Showbiz Mosaic. Listen, have a great weekend. And then, Monday morning!
What's trending? The morning meme, the Facebook friend of the day, Showbiz news and more.
Oh yeah, Dr. Dre, Shawnee D, Ebony D, Lady BG. We got a lot of D's and B's, but it's an A show. Showbiz and Company, 1520 KYNDRadio.com.
Showbiz and Company,
weekday mornings, 6 to 9 a.m.
Houston's alarm clock.
Wake up!
On 1520 KYND.
Join Pastor Suzette and Kirby John Caldwell in Houston, Texas, October 19th through October 22nd for the 20th Annual Prayer Explosion Conference. It's powerful, explosive, and spiritually anointed. It's not for the faint of heart. You don't want to miss this. Prayer Explosion speakers include ESPN's Chris Broussard, Dr. David Ireland, Bishop Michael Pitt, Pastor John Gray, Pastor Paula White, Dr. Matthew Stevenson, Evangelist Joyce Rogers, Bishop Raphael Green, Dr. Leonard Sweet, Prophetess Pamela Kent, plus much, much more. Be there as the Caldwells celebrate 20 years leading in prayer. Don't miss the opening night celebration, October 19th through 22nd at the Kingdom Builder Center, 6011 West Orem Drive. To register and get more information, go to prayerinstitute.com. That's prayerinstitute.com or call 713-726-2522.
Hello, this is Fred Hoyer coming to you about Bayway Lincoln, your Lincoln dealer, number one in sales and number one in service for the last 20 years. Bayway Lincoln, located on the Gulf Freeway at the Fuqua exit. This month at Bayway Lincoln, 0% on all 2017 Lincolns in stock. That's right, 0% on all 2017 Lincolns in stock. From the Lincoln Navigator, Lincoln MKS, Lincoln MKZ, and the Lincoln MKC. So give Fred Hoyer a call today at 281-929-6500 and experience the Bayway way. Fred Hoyer and Bayway Lincoln, a winning combination for the last 20 years. So call 281-929-6500. And remember, Bayway Lincoln, the only dealer in town that gives you a 40-inch flat screen TV with your purchase on any new or pre-owned car. Good credit, bad credit, we can make it happen for you at Bayway Lincoln.
Bayway Lincoln on the Gulf Freeway, 45 South at the Fuqua exit. Open Saturdays. Call Fleet Manager Fred Hoyer, 281-929-6500. Bayway Lincoln, a part of the Bayway Auto Group. From South Park to City Gas. On the air everywhere. Everywhere. The powerful 1520.
It's hard to work some days for 14 hours. And you can bet he barely makes a dollar.
Welcome back to the Chat with Pack Radio broadcast. And, we want to remind you that you can learn more about us by simply going to our website.
That is PAK, P-A-K, Pastor the Vanity Kingdom.org.
All right, so visit us on the website and learn more about us and figure out how to get in contact with us. You can get all that on the website as well as get some of our training materials that are downloadable in PDF format. You can download them right there from our website. Pastor Warren's going to share some of our resources with you.
We've been talking about healthy relationships. It talks about developing powerful and productive families who advance the kingdom by engaging the culture. We also been talking about sharing love with thugs, understanding how to relate to inner city and hip-hop culture. And we also have the second Adam, Men's Discipleship Program. It's a training outline. Talks about it's the desire of a pact that each man will operate in functional masculinity according to God's image and likeness.
All right. And these materials are good for everyone, not just laity, but leaders. If your church pastors may be located in the inner city community, City Gas and Sunnyside and Acres Homes and all those places around the city, and you might want to develop an outreach, if not you yourself, but somebody in your congregation, and pastors can come and join PAC, or you can send people to the training. All that kind of stuff is available to you. And we have several campuses. Want to talk about the campuses?
We got a campus on the southwest side. That's Pastor Marshall and myself. I'm Pastor Crowder. We've got, northeast, and then we got the north side, which is our main campus. And you can call in to the main number. You can get that off the website, and you can see the exact address of all three of those locations where we do our training.
That's right. And that main campus number, 713-784-6055. Stop what you're doing right now and call.
And let me just mention, we have over 9 companies that hire our graduates.
Yeah.
And we're increasing the companies. And so part of the program is once we get you're functional, then you need a job. We can't change the inner city if you don't have a job. Right. And when you can go on to that job, increase your value, and then raise your economic situation.
Yes.
Then what happens is you no longer need to return to entitlements. You no longer have to have government food stamps. You can come from underneath the trees with the 40s and get back in the functional society and enjoy life as God intended it. It's what we want to try to get done. So those companies are part of the graduation process that we begin to work in to get you back into. We want to be a support group, a support system, and we have a lot of people wanting to join us to support that effort. So get on board with us and help us, whether it's your pastor or your company out there that wants to come alongside of us and hire some of those that are graduating. Get involved in helping us change the inner city.
Yeah, and again, our whole goal is healthy families.
Yeah,
because the power is in the family.
Yeah.
Right.
Strong families make strong communities, strong churches, strong countries, everything. The power is in the family. Now, we were again talking about, we had moved to 1 Timothy 2, and Wilford, you were telling us a story about your dad saying, you're gonna miss me. Let's go back to that.
I mean, it's ironic that he mentioned it to me as I was, he was a mechanic, he wanted me to be involved in mechanics, working on cars, and I was interested in playing basketball.
Right.
And he wanted me in the garage with him, and he told me, one day you're going to miss me. After he passed, I was trying to change the brakes on my car, and I went in the house to call him, but he was gone. And I had to remember how to push that brake cylinder in. Y'all know what that's about.
Yeah,
and one of the tricks of the trade, and I couldn't do it. Went in and didn't dawn on me. But I had one brake caliber session still lodged in my hindsight. Turned the caliber, pressed it with some pliers, and it went in, the brake fluid seeped out, I stopped the air from going in, and lo and behold,
it worked.
And that's kind of what happens, right? After we've gone, the legacy of those that's in our memory, can come back to help us when the pressure's on.
Yeah.
And if that's a healthy hindsight, that hindsight is healthy. The communication between my dad and I can still lodge in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
I can go back to that memory when it's time for me to change my brakes. And his leadership is now installed in the things that I do today, which is what we're trying to communicate through the Healthy Family Initiative.
Great. Now, we were talking about in 2 Timothy 2. Let's, for a moment, pause again here. Why do we use Scripture?
Well, you know, we use Scripture. If we look at Scripture, it says there in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is profitable. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And if you have used Scripture for a particular thing, what I'm saying is understood the Scripture, stood on it, Scripture proves itself. And so the reason we rule Scripture is because it's proven, and it is done, if you read on down, it is done that the man of God might be fairly furnished. That's what Paul was telling Timothy, fairly furnished unto all good work. So if we put that in the sense of a family, it's so the person will be able to identify things in the family, be able to navigate as they go through and teach principles. And so that's why we use Scripture, because Scripture is profitable.
Scripture, the Bible is the constitution of the kingdom of God.
All right.
When you stand before God, it says heaven and earth going to pass away, but his word is going to last forever. Those of us who operate from that word are going to be the ones who not only get a well done when we see him, but we're going to get the wisdom it takes to handle these treacherous issues that we have in the midst of our family. And with so many families moving away from God, you're going to need an astronomical amount of wisdom to be able to handle each case. And the wisdom is going to come from the Scripture. That's why we go to Bible study.
Mm.
Right. Bible study is not just for us to learn stuff to handle in church. It's to handle every element of our lives.
Right.
So that when we're out there, we know God is with us through the biblical reason that comes back from the Holy Spirit. And so it's an everyday thing for believers, or it should be. It should be every day.
Yeah.
Whether it's Old or New Testament, it's important. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Our young men, our young women need hope.
Mm.
Scripture brings about hope.
And we have so many out there who's saying that I tried the God thing and it just doesn't work for me. Maybe one of the reasons it's not working is because you can't apply worldly wisdom to what's going on. You need Scripture.
Right.
And you need the empowerment of the Spirit every day to do it. And so those who have gone away from God and decided you don't want any part of it, you're going to go further and further and further into situations and circumstances you won't be able to address, because the wisdom from the Spirit and righteousness is what you need to make it better. So Scripture is seriously important to the believer.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Yeah.
Bottom line, it's the truth. And I like what, you know, at the threat of sounding too religious, the hymn says, "How firm a foundation," says, "What more can be said than to you he has said."
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if God has spoken on these issues through his word, then there's no other word that you need, or no other word that will work.
Mm-hmm.
Except for what he said about it, because he created you, he made you, and he know everything that's going on with you. And so we need to go to him.
And the one of the philosophies we give is having the peace of God, peace with God, and enjoying life.
Yes.
The greatest thing you can have is enjoying life to the full.
Yes.
When you're enjoying life, it's contagious.
Yes.
And you don't have to look over your shoulder to see who's you hurt and all of that. That's gone away. It is a great place to be.
Yeah.
And we want to get everyone in the hood or out of the hood or in the suburbs to see this point. But it will not happen if you're not a friend of Scripture.
Yeah. Can I say this, too? It's with, with,
with everything that we do, pretty much, if you buy something, it comes with some instructions.
Yeah. All right.
And the instructions are there to show you how to get the best out of what you have purchased. Yeah. And so the instructions for life, that's God's blueprint, is the word, which gives you the instruction as to how to live, what to do when you're faced with every situation. It deals with from birth to eternity.
Right.
And it's the word. And so if we can apply this and understand that if we buy a phone, it has instructions. If we get a car, it's got instructions. Everything has a manual, and if we would address it, we'll get the best out of it. And so is it in life. We can get the best out of life if we'll just follow the manual. And so the instructions are there for us.
So what you're saying is, if I took John 10:10, the portion of it that says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So you're saying if I would apply that to my life and look at Scripture in that way, then I should have what Pastor Darwin's talking about, a good life. An abundant life, because that's the manual.
Abundant life.
For me to achieve it.
Yeah. But see, now, abundance is not what people think. And we're not trying to go into Bible study, but abundance, think I'm $1 million. But that's not what abundance. Oh, well, I got more than enough.
Right.
With somebody else.
And you can have some peace.
Yeah.
And you can have some joy.
Yeah.
While you're going through this, while you're transferring this information and dealing with the situation in the house, you know, those P's we talked about, I'm not trying to get ahead, but you got some patience and you know how to persevere from the Scripture.
I
think it's even more poignant than that. Yeah. What abundance is talking about is powerful and productive. Talking about fruitful. It's saying that you have life in you. And you have life more abundantly refers to the fact that life comes out of you and other people.
Right.
I mean, you have life, and what does life do? It reproduces. So life and life more abundantly, like you guys all around us.
But, you know, and that drives us to our point, though, because all of us here are spiritual leaders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of us are leading our homes.
Right.
And if anyone is to go check our wives, that's a check. And I know the queen got a smile on her face.
Yeah.
Because I'm leading that
thing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You understand? And so that life that we're talking about, that abundant life, is flowing into her. She is seriously confident in my leadership.
Right.
She understands. I allow her to sleep. I get up in the morning at 7 so she can sleep to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want her to be secure in my leadership. And so that security is going to get me food in the microwave at 10 when I get in. Right. And she knows she picks that phone up at any time. If the car goes down at any time, I'm going to stop what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find out where she is, and I'm going to go fix that car.
Right.
She knows that. Because as a leader, that is my responsibility to take care of her. Mm-hmm. She understands that's going to happen. Scripture tells me to love God first, and Christ, if I break down, he's going to come see what's wrong with me.
Right. Mm.
I like that, because that leads us to our first key.
I thought I'd get us back on
that. We're talking about principles, right?
Yeah.
In the first P, that a leader that's effective in the home is going to have some principles. Now we're talking about what, for instance, you just talked about that is your responsibility, to make sure that your wife is okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I've always said I don't ever send my wife to fix a problem. I'm gonna fix all the problems.
That's exactly right.
You know, and that's a principle. That's a rule that I live by.
That's right.
Well, you know, it could be principles in the house. Yeah. If you're growing up with teenage kids, or you're growing up with young adults, you know, everybody's in the house at a certain time. You know, if you're dealing with a couple of young men in there, all the young men take out the trash, you know. Mm. It's not just one person's responsibility. Those kind of principles and those kind of guidelines you can have that is set there, which will guide the family. So simple things like that. We've been talking about Scripture. It doesn't necessarily have to be Scripture. It can be something as simple as that, you know, as simple as when food is now don't try this at your house. This is my house. When food is put in the ice box, it's everybody's food, you know. And then you might have to say, on the other side, when somebody puts food in the ice box, then it's that person's food. But those kind of simple principles.
Or if something is in the floor,
Everybody
needs to be picked up.
Everybody
don't walk over it.
Right, right.
First one get to it.
Right.
But the principle must be illustrated by us first.
Right,
yeah. Right.
So if I move it a couple of times first to show that I have a servant kind of leadership, because the person in the home, the leader in the home must be a servant.
Yeah.
He must be able to serve. He must be able to wash the dishes. He must be able to do that.
Come on.
Then he can transfer that to the rest of the house from his leadership.
Right.
From the ability. That's why Jesus dies on the cross. Then he tells you to get you one. Yeah. Pick up your cross too, and follow me. Yeah. Well, what does he mean? Take up all the sacrifice some stuff, just like I did. Yeah. Sacrifice some stuff for others. And you got to do that by denying yourself. Denying what you think about you. Drop all of that and be a nobody and pick it up and watch how fast you become somebody. So that principle leadership is to go and be an example of picking it up and to make it. Now I'm not there. Can you follow that lead and do the same thing that I did with it?
Well, that moves us to the next one, practice.
Yeah, practice.
Right.
You practice in what you preach.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a challenge for the practice, because the practice is an audible leadership. It's not a verbal, but it's an audible leadership whereby, an ocular, I should say, whereby it's seen. And that leadership, that it has to be seen, where they have to see us do. Because, I mean, if you talked about earlier, Paul said, what you have both seen and heard me.
Yeah.
So it's an example. And when we talk about that practice, it's something that, because we have done it so many times, they can do it, and we haven't even always taught them, but just by seeing what we've done and how we've done it, and it becomes a practice of what we should do for them.
And I think the practice must be driven toward the security of the home.
Yeah.
Especially if the men are doing it. The masculine always provides security. It is always responsible.
Yeah.
It is always demonstrating provision by illustrating what should be going on. And that illustration is to bring security to the entire home. So when my son comes home, he recognizes that the lights are paid. The lights are paid. The water's running because Dad provided.
Yeah.
Therefore, that illustration can be practiced when he leaves to go and run his own home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He can take those same principles and provide for his home, so that if he decides to marry, whoever he marries is going to marry someone who his father has transferred security.
Mm-hmm.
So that she can fall under that security under his leadership. And if the wife comes in and the women detail, they pick up from what we do and make it happen if we're not there. So even if I'm gone, they can take the bills and practice and make sure that they're always taken care of. And as long as the lights, the water, and everything's running in the home, and you come in and there's no drama, that home has peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the illustration is being practiced regularly. Now we want that practice to become a behavior.
Yeah.
Once it becomes a behavior, the home is solid. And the healthy family element is now being executed.
And that's actually a form of communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is right. Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, and then we do everything that we do. You led us into that as well, with purpose.
Right. And the purpose is to have a home that illustrates the glory of God in the home. The glory of God is demonstrated. Let your light so shine that when people see your good deeds, they glorify God. They recognize that God is not an old fogey or man that's trying to whoop you with a bat, but he's actually giving you these principles so you can love life. You can love people. You can enjoy yourself with where you're going, because you have a great relationship with him. You have a great relationship with people. And now your issues is to go help other people get better.
Yeah.
And the purpose now can be shared to another family, because it's being illustrated from the home we have. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things we have to do in the class is they have to give us their vision. In the transition class, each student has to give us their vision, and they have to tell us what they want that vision, how that vision is to be completed by the time they're 65.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that is, those are some serious moving testimonies. And those who are coming off the streets, those who are coming off of drugs, have some of the most moving mm-hmm. testimonies yes. and hidden purpose underneath all of the things that has trapped them. Once those things are gone, those visions, I want my son and my daughter to come back home. Mm-hmm. I want to stop shacking. I want to marry the girl I'm with. Mm-hmm. These types of things that's coming up. I'm sick and tired of going back and forth yeah. to jail. You see these purposes starting to come out of them. And now they're able to go into a family environment and move from unhealthy, dysfunctional performances to that where they are now putting God's word back into their life and beginning to be beginning to enjoy life.
Yeah. I like what Paul says, that the kingdom of heaven is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. And I think I've heard you say, Wilford, that peace is the key to everything.
It's everything. And the reason people are shooting is because they're angry.
Mm-hmm.
They're angry at one another. I was talking to a young man a little while ago. We got a truck repaired, and he's angry because the truck he wanted repaired wasn't the one we got fixed. And so what he wants to do now is take the truck from someone else, so he can have a truck to make him some money. And I told him that's not how that works. This is what he said to me. He said, if he was in the penitentiary, we would take it.
Mm.
And I said to him, your mindset gonna put you back in the pen. Because you're not in the pen. Penitentiary thinking is for people who are in the pen. You're in the free world. And the free world has to get along with people in order to make it, because relationship and communication is the key to anything you're doing.
Right.
But how many people do we have that short-circuited
mm-hmm.
by the anger that they have in their heart? And now I'm picking up penitentiary reasoning in order to now function,
yeah.
not recognizing where they received it. And so if we're not able to take a look at what that thinking is going to do to their behavior, and I shared with him, this is why police are shooting people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you think you can just roll up on somebody and take it, then what restraint are you going to have? And not everyone going to let you take stuff from
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not what's going on. So I want to just say on that note that it's really serious that the proper illustration and the proper purpose is given to each person.
Yeah.
Great. Now, this brings us to you talked about the fact that earlier when we were getting ready to come in, that there are believers and there are non-believers listening to us at this time.
Yeah.
And that this only works for believers. Our next P is profession.
Wow.
And so how does that tie in?
So what did you mean when you used profession the last time you talked to us about that?
I use the scripture that whether we eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. So everything that we do has to always point to God. So we're always, in fact, when we talk about confess with your mouth,
yeah.
that's a continual confession.
Right. Yeah, because it agrees with God. Confession is dealing agreement with what God has already said about life.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing that and communicating that through how we live. Communicating how God would do it, how we live. I think that borders on religiosity something in the mind of the unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
Where it is the strength of the believer, because giving God glory deals with the weightiness of God anyway.
Right.
And what do we have to do when we're under a lot of weight, a lot of pressure? And God's glory, seeing how He would do it, getting that strength from Him.
Mm-hmm.
But and just think about how many lives those of us in the room have to touch. How many people we have to help then go home and make sure our families are solid.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be ready at any beck and call from somebody going to the hospital or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go with a smile.
Yeah.
You have to go at what causes that? Is where that love of God, love of doing stuff for God, recognizing that He is with us when we go somewhere. I was doing my devotion this morning on Joseph. And going through jail, going through his brothers putting him in a pit, and the Bible saying God was with him.
Yeah.
That's a theme that runs through that. And right, just right, knowing yeah. God is with us when we do the stuff that we're doing stops us from doing some other stuff.
Yeah.
And when we decide that we're going to dismiss God, or as the Bible says, remove the fear of God,
yeah.
when we have no fear of God, we have no wisdom, we have no knowledge, we don't have anything that's functioning that causes us to be powerful and productive.
No problem.
And the object of that profession is to make it a behavior.
Yeah, I don't, you know, and let me say, I don't think it's certainly anything wrong with religious verbiage, as long as it has weight and substance under it. David said, his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Now, where I'm going with that is to say this, that in the context of what we're talking about, the spiritual leader in the home, trying to be powerful and productive in his home, it not only is good to be talking about God before everybody, it's good to be talking about God before yourself, because yeah. as a spiritual leader by home, I always have to remind myself.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
You know, that this is to the glory of God.
You're right. And you remember Samson, one of the most powerful men in the Bible. And Delilah was taking that brother, she was taking that brother out to lunch, and he couldn't beat the lust in his heart. And the Bible says he didn't even know when God had left him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, his eyes is put out and he's not functioning yeah. too well. So we can be powerful and get to do things and recognize that God is there and move more and more and more into stuff we shouldn't be doing. And let me just put that out there, because there are many pastors who are out there doing things they shouldn't be involved in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, you're just not. God is not mocked. Mm-hmm. And we're not trying to convict, but it's not. And what we're trying to say is that if we had more pastoral leadership
that was
down to earth, walking in humility, loving God, loving people, and trying to help people get to be the best they can be, no strings attached, we would be able to help more communities change
right.
into what they need to be. We need more pastors in the trenches.
Now, I don't know whether we're going to get through these P's and stuck again, but I think we profession, the next one is perseverance. I think that falls right after profession for yeah. a reason.
Yeah.
Because you need to profess it in order to stay on track and persevere, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, perseverance is something that you got to have, because if you're going to endure, it's more than just saying it one time. You got to continue in that, and to continue in the love course that you're trying to do as a leader in the home, because sometimes they don't get it one time, the first time.
Let me throw something out then. How many times can you be disappointed?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, disappointment right. after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment.
Yeah.
You got to persevere.
Persevere.
Mm-hmm. Because disappointments tend to make you think you're not going to get there.
Yeah.
But you got to persevere past the disappointments,
yeah.
because disappointments are just challenging your faith.
Yeah.
And it's popular to say today, a particular scripture, that David encouraged himself
yeah. Yeah.
in the Lord.
Yeah. yeah. And that there are times, Ephesians says, there are times you need to do all you can do to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there are just discouraging things all day, things breaking down all day. People not respecting you all day. It's just things after things that are going wrong. And you still have to maintain your faith. You still have to do what you're supposed to do like yeah. God said. You cannot go back to the world and say, God understands my heart.
Yeah. That's the challenge there.
Yeah, that's what perseverance is
yeah.
about.
Yeah, yeah.
And in context, we're talking about being a spiritual leader in your home, and dealing with people, and nothing can disappoint you like people.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And being able, another word for perseverance, to endure
right.
the
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
To endure the test. Endure the test.
I'm going to tell you a great prayer for that. Give me this day my daily bread. It'll stop you from focusing on tomorrow and just get you through the day. I'm yeah. not looking at tomorrow. Just I got daily bread promised today.
Yeah.
I got enough substance for everything I need to do today.
Yeah.
And if I can just get to bed tonight and thank God for getting to bed tonight and get through that day, I'm good. Because the next day going to bring its own set of issues.
Yeah, it will. Yeah.
And perseverance is based on your daily provisions.
My pastor say if you ask for daily bread, you'll get to know the baker better.
Good.
Okay, passion or love in the text. And we put the word passion to it.
Now that's the key to hindsight.
Yeah.
The repair in the hindsight. Yeah. Because people who've been damaged, who've been hurt, need a lot of love, respect, and attention.
Yeah.
Lots of it. And they need to be respected and they need to know you care. Every time Christ shows up, he brings hope and care.
Yeah.
And people turn us off because we don't care about them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We want to talk more about what we know and what we're doing than where they're hurting.
Yeah.
What's that old saying? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
And you think about the woman that had the issue of blood. That's a great piece because Jesus has people around him pressing up against him. And he can turn around and say, who touched me?
Yeah.
Something happened so he could recognize the need of that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's being missed. And the number one cry today is people don't care.
Mm.
Number one cry today, you don't care about me. Number one cry. And you'll find it's contagious when you start caring because everybody will come to you because they want it. It becomes a need for perseverance.
and a synonym to love is the word sacrifice. That's the same word. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend. Love is expressed in what you are willing to give up for another person.
Selflessness.
Yeah.
Instead of selfishness.
Yes.
Selfishness is going to split and divide. Selflessness is going to mend and put things back together. And so then you'll have your family will be healthy. Because they know you care, they know you love them. Therefore, the communication can open up because they're going to give you the love and care back, which is the evidence of the law of the harvest.
Yeah.
You know, if you sow love, if you sow what's spiritual, you're going to receive it.
Yeah, and that's something that love always does. Love is willing to give everything that they are, that you can become all that you are.
Yeah,
and that's a great sacrifice.
And you're going to need it if you're dealing with thuggishness.
Yeah.
Because thuggishness is a long-term element because the heart is hard.
Yeah.
They're constantly challenging you.
Yeah.
The conscious is very destructive because the value sessions are very low. The things that they want to achieve is seriously off the charts. And you have to have continuous love or what's the word? Patience and what's the other word? Long suffering. Long suffering is at least 20 years.
Yeah. Well, boy, this hour has passed in a hurry. We're nearing the end of the show, and the other three words, patience, then persecution. They don't talk about you, treat you bad, do all kind of stuff. I'm talking about people that you working on behalf. Nobody can hurt you like folk you love.
Yes.
Nobody. And then pain, that you have to bear that pain like Jesus bear that pain for you on that cross.
Remember, the number one key to being healthy is don't take it personal.
Don't take it personal.
Don't take it personal and stay on your turf.
Visit us on our website.
Chat with PAC. That's PAK.org.
All right. And call us at 713-784-6055 and find out what we're all about. All of this stuff you heard over the radio, you can hear in person. And you can meet us and talk to us. All right, we're getting ready to get out of here. We want to remind you that we are pastors advancing the kingdom, and we are changing the inner city
one family at a time.